You know, we were rejoicing in the Lord, and of course the Spirit of God has made God real and present to us. Now everything's kind of settled to a hush. I love the way the Spirit of God works. I can't explain to you exactly how or why. Well, I just know this, when He starts working, it's good for all that are involved. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We were at a wedding yesterday, and as the couple begin to tie, they do a unity braid, and as they begin to tie that unity braid, boy, God hit me with some scripture, and that rode with me all the way home and saw one of the most beautiful sunsets that I've ever seen. I'm glad that God can reveal Himself to somebody even as ignorant as I am. He's that way. You know, God is no respecter of persons. The Bible teaches us that in Christ, there's Jew nor Greek, male nor female, that God will reveal Himself to them that seek Him. And I'm glad when we seek Him, He is to be found of us. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us, please, to Colossians, second chapter, Colossians, the second chapter. And let me give you a little background on this scripture, I guess. And Kim, I appreciate these, honey, certainly this morning. But in this second chapter, he's, of course, addressing the church of Colossae. And along with the church of Colossae, he is also addressing the church of Laodicea. These are two churches that the Apostle Paul had never visited. They had never seen his face, but he heard of their faith. In other words, they served the Lord and their faith was published. You know, when you serve the Lord, people know a little something about you. You don't have to noise it abroad that you're the Lord's. Just be what He wants you to be and love the way He wants you to love, and people be able to tell. I'll assure you of that. Well, word comes to Paul that there's a couple of churches over there, and he's impressed by what he hears. Now, we know that Colossians, or the church at Colossae, was started by one of Paul's confidants, a man by the name of Epaphroditus, or Epaphroditus, however you want to pronounce it. But we really, when I begin to research Laodicea, who was the founder of Laodicea, I really found nothing. And remember, it's the church of Laodicea that the Lord had a stinging rebuke for. It was the church of Laodicea that basically said, I'm on the outside knocking, begging you to let me in. And I want you to know this, it matters that we have a foundation. It matters that we know where we come from. It matters that we've been established by the Spirit and the work of God, not by the work of another man's hands. Not because somebody got angry and left and started another church, but because God placed it upon the heart of people to form and begin a church. It matters where you come from. Far greater than it matters where you come from, it matters where we're going. Amen? Thank God. Now listen, the Bible said, I would that you know what a great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, as and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He said, I've never seen you. I've never met you, but I sure do love you, and I'm a praying for you. I'm thinking of you. And this is a great desire of the heart of the Apostle Paul. And this is what God began to lay upon our hearts. He said that their hearts might be comforted. Listen to this. Being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I want you to go down to verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, as many as have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men's and the rudiments, or after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And let me read the first portion of verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to You, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, how thankful we are as we celebrate this day that we set aside to give you thanks. God, it's not Turkey Day, it's Thanksgiving. We're so thankful for all the blessings in our life. So thankful for Calvary. So thankful for an empty grave. So thankful for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And so thankful that that promise is fulfilled even in our day. And oh yes, God, we make the claim that the great God of heaven now dwells in the hearts of men through our faith in Christ. Father, as we come to you, God, I pray, Lord, give me and help me preach this message, God, the way you showed it to me. God, I pray, Lord, let the beauty of your word shine. God, we'll give you all credit, honor, and glory. Now, God, take this unworthy vessel. Wash it clean. God, I know that I'm not worthy, but God, I know this. My heart is willing. God, I pray where I can't, I know you can. Now, feed my brothers and my sisters in Christ that they might go out into the world and let the world know there's a God in heaven that loves them and there's a judgment that they want to escape. God, if you'll do this, we'll bow our unworthy head. We'll thank you for all these things in Christ's name and for our sakes. Amen and amen. As Paul writes this church, or to these two churches, his great desire is that they would be knit together in love. As I watch that couple go down to their, or slide over, I guess, to their unity braid, you know, they make it in the shape of a cross. And, there's somebody, I think, Tori, I think you and Chris, y'all did the unity braid, and y'all come up before everybody, and you begin to tie it and wind it together, and all those, you know, the way you tie it, and one thread inside the other. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. As I sat there and I watched that, God began to put this scripture on my heart that we are knit together in the love of God. I want you to know this morning, and this is what God showed me. He said, does anybody know what a patchwork quilt is? Boy, there ain't many. You know what that is. It was all... Let me tell you what a patchwork quilt is. It's a quilt that's made of several different pieces. And what you do is most of them are square. They take them and overlap one another and they stitch them together. And by stitching them together, they make a beautiful garment or a beautiful blanket or a beautiful quilt. And it's not only beautiful, but so often it's stronger than one fabric by itself. And each one of us, praise be unto God, are part of that patchwork quilt. Listen, thank God, and I didn't think about this until God sent it up there in the choir. One day God looked down at me and God looked down at you, and many a time people had saw us, and many a time people had been in and out of our lives, and they may have been some people that looked at us as a little old piece of cloth and said, oh, that piece of cloth, it's too dirty. It don't have no place in the patchwork quilt of God. They looked at it and scoffed at it and walked by it like it had no value. But God in heaven looked down and said, that old dirty piece of cloth, if I wash it up and I clean it up, I can make it a part of something greater. And all you and I are a piece of dirty cloth that he reached down and he washed clean and he made white as snow and he filled with his spirit and he began to weave us into the body of Christ. We're knit together in the love of God. Let me say this to you husbands and wives. You better be knit by more than just affection. Can I get an amen? You better be knit by more than just your emotions. You better be knit by more than just an infatuation. And you know what? Listen, there are a lot of people that are married today and their marriage begins to unravel and their family begins to unravel because it was never woven together by the hand of God. I'm going to tell you what's kept me and my wife. I'm going to tell you what's kept me and my church. I'm going to tell you what's kept me and my family. God knit us together with something that's greater than what we are. And together, when we're knit, we're stronger than we are when we're by ourselves. And so God looks down at so many of you that have joined the church recently, I want to say this to you. God looked down at you and said, you know what? I've got a little old quilt over there off a, what is this, Jewel Bennett Road? Off of Jewel Bennett Road. I got a little old quilt over there. And by the way, you'd make a perfect piece in that quilt. And God, you didn't just show up. God motivated your heart and put it in your heart. And God brought you to this house and to this place. And God spoke to you. And God dealt with you. And you came up and said, I'd like to be a part of that patchwork quilt. There are a lot of people that think the pastor is the most important part of that patch. I'm going to tell you, I'm just another patch in the patchwork. But having said that, glory to the Lamb of God, I'm glad to be a part of this quilt. And so he begins to weave. Let me ask you this, anybody in here, and we've got some that can say right now I'm there, and we've got some that have went through it and still going through it. Listen, has anybody felt any pain over the last 2 or 3 years? So many of you have lost loved ones and you didn't lose them. They were saved by the grace of God. To lose something's to not know where it is. We know where they're at, amen. But it still hurts, doesn't it? It still hurts to have that void in your life and to have feel like something's missing that you can't get back. But you know what? With every hurt, that's just a prodding of the needle. With every hurt and every trial we go through, it's just another place where the needle comes through with a thread. It's another stitch. And with every sorrow and pain that we suffer together, glory to God, it weaves us closer. And it hurts at the time. And it's painful. Brother Brady said, as we're headed up in the choir, I made mention a little bit of this. Brady said, oh, we're woven together with a scarlet thread. Amen, son. Amen. We're, and y'all have heard this preached by me before, and other men, not exclusive to anybody. It's the word of God that a threefold cord is not easily broken. There's so many relationships and so many churches that are woven together by things other than the love of God. And when the pressure comes, they come unraveled. Where I grew up as a boy, and I loved these two men, and one of them was like a daddy to me. They were brothers, and they were deacons in the same church where we grew up, and they had a fight over a landline, over a stupid landline, over 5 or 10 feet on a creek bank. Brought that into the church. And that church was built on families. Not the love of God, but a few families, and it was their tradition. And by the way, it was those families' church. When them two men got mad at each other and crossed with one another, you know what happened? The church come apart, it unraveled, and some went over there, and some went over there, and some stayed. I'm going to tell you this, if we're woven together by the love of God in Christ, nothing that happens to us can break us. And I'll tell you this, old Satan knows where to pick at the stitch. He knows, you know what you realize is, for every family that loves the Lord and every church that loves the Lord and every soul that loves the Lord, all he can do is pick. That's all. Does anybody ever feel like he's picking at you? Picking, that's all he can do. But I'm going to tell you something. If we're really been saved by the grace of God, and if we're truly woven and knit together by the love of God, we're stitched by something he don't have the power to break. I've heard many a man say, when the church was in revival like we've been in, and the church was spiritual like God has blessed us to be, there'd always be that awkward Harry that would stand up and say, well, we better be careful. Old Satan's just waiting to tear us apart. I'm going to tell you this, if we stay in the love of God and prefer our brother before ourselves, he can't break us. That old patchwork quilt, each patch It's individual. I've got an individual testimony. God didn't save you exactly the way He saved me. Now, we all are saved by grace. But my testimony just a little bit different than yours. Your testimony might be a little bit different from mine. But we're all pieces. When I look out and I see all these faces, and I don't care if you're a visitor or not, you've been saved by the grace of God, you're part of the body of Christ. Let me say this. It don't matter whether you call yourself a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Methodist, a Holiness, there's only one body of Christ. Those who've been washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. There's not many divisions in the body of Christ. There are. That's man's way. Brothers and sisters, we're all just pieces of that patchwork. What about a God look over in Dahlonega, Georgia, and see a couple and their family and say, you know what? I'm going to slide them over there to Silver City and I'm going to sew them in that patchwork quilt. God looked over there, Curtis and Jenny, and He saw you. Oh, Rusty and Carla, He saw you. David and Natalie, He saw you. And sweetheart, He saw you. And He saw you. And He saw you. And And He's put us together and He's sewn us together with His love. And you know what? When pressure comes on my life and it begins to stretch me, I'm sewn to something stronger than myself. I'm sewn to a brother. I'm sewn to a sister. And whenever this world pulls and hurt and pain and sorrow pull, it don't break me. I'm part of something greater. You say, Russell, that sounds a whole lot like accepted in the blood. That was last Sunday's message if you weren't here. Boy, it does, doesn't it? God begins to stitch us together and make a beautiful, I'm going to say that again, make a beautiful, let me say that again, make a beautiful, yeah, Philip says, oh, thank God, Jason and Amy and you knuckleheads. Yeah, you're not a knucklehead, Carly. Notice I didn't say Allie. Let me rejoice a little while. Is that all right? Jesus told a parable of, we call it the parable of the cloth or the parable of the garment. He said that a man couldn't take an old garment and sew a new piece of cloth on it. He said if you did, when that pressure come on that old garment, where the new was, it would tear and the tear would be greater. Do you know why people's lives are torn apart? Do you know why marriages are torn apart? Do you know why churches get torn apart? They want just a little Jesus. They want just enough of a little of the new to cover the old. Let me tell you something. When you got born again, you are a new creation in Christ. The old man's passed away, and behold, all things are new. And it's not like there's some of us that are of the old covenant. Let me say this. The problem with a lot of churches, there are people that join and become a part of the church, and they're the same old cloth. Never been washed, never been saved, and when trouble comes, they tear away. So it's hard. It's true. But thank God when He saved us, He washed us. He made us a new creation in Christ to fulfill His purpose, to fulfill His work. Listen, we're under His authority. And He sews us together. Let me tell you this, when you got saved, you didn't just get enough Jesus to cover the old. You are not a new improved version of the old you. If you are, you never got born again. Oh, I can get an amen with that. That's okay. That's what people want in the day and age we live. I'll take just enough religion. That's all they get. They don't get Jesus. They don't get the Holy Ghost. They get just enough religion to pacify the need of the hour. And they put that new patch on the old man and it rends and their lives are torn apart. I don't know about you. When God saved me, He created a new creation. I've got a new heart. The old heart loved to sin. The old heart loved the things of the world. This new heart loves God. And by the way, this new heart loves God's people. Knit together. Let me ask you. I don't know if you knew this. Julie and Barry and Ty and Molly and the whole Slayton family. Roger, did you know Roger give me a quilt? Did y'all know that? You know what it was? It's a patchwork quilt. That's my, you ask Kena, ain't that one of my most prized possessions? It sits in the wintertime on my recliner, and when it's cold, there's nothing like better than to take that patchwork quilt. By the way, it's got Georgia Bulldogs all over it. Can I get an amen? I'll preach it to the choir, right? You still a Tech fan, son? I love you. You know that. Wrap up in that quilt. Does anybody like wrapping up when it's cold? Anybody got an old quilt? An old go-to in your home whenever it gets cold? Let me tell you something. There are times in this world my old heart gets cold toward God and toward people. But oh, this little old patchwork quilt, she wraps around me. And she comforts me. She warms me up, Kenny, when I feel like I'm growing cold. She just does what she does. She brings you bring a warmth to my life. Sewn together by the love of God. In Christ Jesus. Oh, I hope after this message you never look at a quilt the same. A patchwork quilt, listen, can always be added to. There's always room on that quilt. You can add another line of patches. Understand this, Church of the Living God. Jesus hadn't come yet because there's work to be done. And this patchwork quilt is not finished. There are others that feel like they've been thrown down, that have been sold and dirtied up and thrown by the roadside. And everybody walks by them and says, they're no good. They'll never make anything. They'll never do anything from God. But oh, they got to be somebody that sees that dirty piece of patchwork and know God can cleanse it. Because that's all we were when God saved us. Just an old, dirty piece of cloth. Now, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present us to God. Y'all realize that? He's going to present us. The Father's going to say, Son, present them that are mine and that are thine. And Jesus is going to again say what He said in the Gospels. Father, of them that You've given Me, I've lost none. I know, the son of perdition. We ain't getting it. That's another message, right? And like, has anybody seen one of those patchwork quilts and it just, you go, wow. Maybe I'm tapping into my feminine side. I love them. I do. You can ask my wife. She said, he's lost his mind. I do. The different patching, there's just a beauty in it. What I see the Church of the Living God. May I say this? I'm so glad that He looked down and saw a piece of cloth. He washed it, and thank God, He sewn me into a body. and a people that I belong to. Thank God. Stand to your feet this morning. I don't know how that went, but that's the message. I don't know that it came out the way God shot. Just the whole time driving home, I could see that old patchwork quilt. You know what? I don't care where my place is in that quilt. I don't have to be on the top. I don't have to be in the middle and some great. I don't want a bigger piece than what I've got. I don't want, you know what? I want to fit in my place and do my job and serve the Lord and find the joy in serving Him. The greatest joy of serving Him outside of knowing how this ends and where I'm headed is to know that I've been sown into a people that love the Lord and love me. This morning, if you need to pray, I don't know what you do. The message like that, I rejoice in it. I just tell you, I'm so thankful. We got so many that have been through so much, and now we've got others that are going through difficult, hard times. Never have to go through them alone. We've been sewn together by the love of God in Christ, that scarlet threefold cord that'll never be broken. Steve, what you got?
Page 270.
Yeah, this morning.